to 411 Live.
Well, you can learn about issues that affect us every day. State of World, 411 Live.
Real people, real talk.
Made to help people in our community in every way. For your girl.
Hello, welcome to the 411 Live, Real People, Real Talk. I'm Beverly Taylor. Doing things a little different today. Normally, we focus solely on sex trafficking, human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. Today, we are shifting a little bit, but we'll tap into the issue of sex trafficking a little bit. But we're talking about memory, repression, and expression. And you go, what does that mean? Well, we will tell you. This is more about writing a book and what it takes to do that, the process, and some things that you may not have even thought about. Now, you may be thinking about writing a book, but here's a great example, a couple of examples of how to do that and what it takes to really delve into what you're trying to say and what you're trying to express. I have wonderful guests with me, three, as a matter of fact. Jolanda Rogers, she is with Talk Consulting, Talk Publishing, and you'll hear a lot from her. Nancy Yarbrough, she is the founder of Fresh Start Learning. She has written a book, so let's put author with that as well. Edward Hennings. And he is also an author, and he's the owner of a barbershop, salon, and trucking company, and he's a speaker, and you may have already been exposed to his story through that. But they have a lot to say. We have a lot to talk about. So let's just delve into what all this is about, what all this means, the process, and I'm really interested, and I know you will be too. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Another thing I should mention.
Hello.
Another thing I should mention is because of the coronavirus, we are doing our social distancing, and that's why they are not here in the studio with me. They're at their homes, and we thank them for going through all the technical difficulties that we've had today, but we've ironed them out, so it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah. So let's start with you, Jolanda, because way back when I met you, we were talking about books and publishing. Mm-hmm. And for one thing, I have to say about you, you are the most encouraging person that I think I've ever met. So I'm sure with people who say, I have a story to tell, I kind of want to do it. You're that motivator who just says, oh, yeah, you can do it. You know, I can show you. You can do it in no time. So that's good. And I'm sure these two can attest to that. So what's the process? You have an idea.
So you have an idea, right? And at first, I have to address these amazing authors. I am like so thrilled to share this time with both Nancy and Ed. And also with you, I've admired you for years. So excited to just have this, you know, opportunity to converse with you. I believe that there is a transformational healing experience that takes place through writing. And because it takes place through writing, I believe it is then transferred to the readers that we share it with. So I am always a major encourager of those that are ready to share their story to do that. One way that we do that in how we worked with Nancy and with Ed is we did it through a life expedition. And what that looks like for each of them is really breaking down their life in a five to seven year increment and really diving into what did life look like for me at that time? What did I experience? What was I going through? Who were the major players? What were some of my victories, my accomplishments, things that I did well? And then also diving into those things that weren't so well, right? Looking at the negative things that we've all experienced and encountered and really interweaving them to tell this story of how we've become who we are.
Okay, let me stop you there and talk to the authors. So when Jolanda talked, you know, you tell her, yeah, I got a story. And she starts to tell you about this process. Was that daunting to you? What was your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction was more so, there's some places and some spaces that you care not to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went in that way, it was really amazing for me because it brought up some things that I had suppressed for so many years. I started having all kind of breakthroughs and realizing that there were some things in my life that I hadn't even thought about for years or that I thought were dreams that weren't dreams. They were really reality. So it was a real challenging experience, very rewarding experience, but a very in-depth experience.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Ed?
For me, I did quite a bit of speaking before I got to writing a book. And I never looked at a book as something that I could really do good, but, you know, having a story and then sitting down with Yolanda, she definitely was great at taking my story and taking, you know, through the interview process and taking it and putting it on paper. And really, when I read it, it impressed me. I was like, wow, this is really good.
Ed, ditto. That's the same thing I said. I said, ditto. I need the Holy Spirit.
I love it. And what's so amazing is that when you start going through this process, and even when we do chapter reviews, hearing that feedback for them and then being able to give back to them that this is your story, this is your life, and as motivated and encouraged and inspired as you feel, that's how your readers are going to feel. So I think it speaks to when we talk about the I Dare You to Heal movement and really encouraging others to open up and to express themselves and to receive healing. It happens by the forerunners, such as Nancy, such as Ed, that come before us and say, this is my story. This is what I've experienced. This is what happened to me in life. And this is how I've overcome it.
Right. Nancy, why did you want to write a book?
Well, do you got an hour? No. it was on me to put something that I could leave as a legacy of life, mm-hmm. according to what God had brought me through for a long period of time. It just took Yolanda to find me and push me into mm-hmm. making sure that I was obedient to the call, because I tell you, I kept saying what I was going to write, when I was going to write, what I was going to do. And the last moments of that was at church when the pastor kept saying, there's a story being written. Are you in the story? And I'm going, what? You know, this has got to be. And I had just met Yolanda for the first time in person at the I Dare You to Heal kind of informational session we were getting ready to do. Said, you ready to write that book? And I was like, yeah, girl. You know, like, no, I'm not, you know. But it just took all of that. It took the pushing, the prodding, the obedience, and the sacrifice, and not to be ashamed. But once you put it out there, you can't get that back. You know, I do a lot of speaking engagements, and I can share what's in that moment. Now, I may never see them people again, but when you share your life's journey and it's out there and it's some of those deep parts that when you go back and read it, like Ed said, you go, Yolanda, how did you capture that? Did I say that? She was like, yep, that was all you. I was like, no, that was the Holy Spirit, because we were speaking in tongue over here doing this work. Anyway, yeah, that's what it took. It took me being able to trust myself, trust the person that God has sent, and then being able to pour out unashamed.
Very good. Ed, why did you want to write a book?
It was just from the questions that were being asked of me at the time. I had come through an experience, and I was trying to see some successes in my life and come back from some things. And a lot of questions were being asked of me, like, how did you do it? How did you make this happen? So I was introduced to Yolanda and said, hey, you know what? I need to answer some of these questions. I'm speaking, but I think I can get the question. I think I can get these answers to the people that's asking a lot more effectively through a book. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I didn't know how to do it, but you know, at this point in my life, I'm daring. So, you know, Yolanda definitely grabbed me by the hand and walked me right into it. And it was a rewarding process.
Wow, Yolanda, you said you take them through these 5 to 7 year segments.
So
it sounds like they have to do homework.
Well,
to really think about those areas of their lives.
Absolutely, they do. With these two particular clients, I gave them the assignment of what we would do. With Ed, he actually had some time to kind of go away, think about it, jot some things down. And then when he and I came together, I orchestrated an interview, really just diving deeper into some of the things that were shared. So tell me more about that. What did that feel like? What were you experiencing in that moment? Whereas with Nancy, she really didn't have that opportunity to just kind of sit and think about it. She and I literally spent hours together walking through her life expedition. So there really wasn't that, you could see the memories kind of emerging in the moment as we talked about it. So it went, and as I think about it, my mind even goes back just to those intimate moments. So when someone sits with you and they pour out their heart, like it is an experience, like it's indescribable.
Wow. Okay, Nancy, let's talk about your book. When you went through it, was it draining?
Yes, and yes and no. It was definitely tearful and painful. Afterwards, after you pour out so much, you do feel like you've given out a lot. And then Jolanda was so, so attentive to that, that she would say, you want to stop? You know, is that enough? You know, can you go any further? But she always made sure that we healed up before we split up, right? And that's the biggest thing about that. That's why I think people are so reluctant to tell their life journey, is because when you go back in those crevices of things that you've packed away and you've put away, and you don't want anybody to know and you don't want to remember, and you get into those nooks and crannies, you can't leave that person exposed like that and just walk away like this is a job well done. She made sure that she stopped at the moments where she saw that breaking point was beyond. Literal tears could not stop coming out. Like, it was almost like a fetal kind of cry, you know? And I just thank God that God sent her in my path to be able to get what he wanted out for the masses of people that don't have to suffer in silence anymore.
Right.
You know, that I had somebody with me that allowed me to be brave enough to speak those things that people don't want to talk about and be very transparent in it. And it does actually take a part of you, and it does drain you. It makes you feel very uncomfortable, but very empowered, if right. that makes sense.
What's the name of your book?
The name of the book is The Exodus, Where New Beginnings Happen.
Okay. Give me a synopsis.
Well, the first part of it, it's God's way of telling you that in your life journey, where there's that wilderness moment and there's that moment of disobedience, that he's in there with you, but he gives you a time of escape. He planned all that for you in your wilderness moments and tells you to continue to live as normal. In my living as normal, there was always breadcrumbs of life that God had put in my place to make sure that I would be okay at the end of this journey. So the beautiful part about it was the genesis of it all. Then he gave the final part where it was eternity forever, meaning that in the genesis of it all, he already knew that the eternity forever was there, and I'm walking into it now. So that's the beautiful part about how you match God's life plan for you, his purpose and his journey for you, because every day new beginnings really do happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Tell me a point where you were in it, and I guess there are stops and starts. You know, you get in it and then it gets a little deep, and then it gets a little deeper, and then it gets a little deeper. And you were mentioning things came up that you repressed.
Yeah, a lot
and
of stuff.
All of a sudden, give me an example, because we're talking generalities. Just dig in.
Messing with me.
Dig in.
You know, especially with your childhood memories. Mm-hmm. Like, it took a lot to even go back to the times that I was being teased a lot, and the things that developed in my character later on in life, where that easy pull was, I was very manipulated by feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. When I went back into those times in my life where I was always that little girl that was a people pleaser, that wanted to make sure that people accepted me, liked me, you know, invited me into spaces that I was never invited into. That was a very difficult part, to even go back and remember those days of being bullied, being ostracized as a little girl and not having anybody to stand up for you. You know, wow. Even your big brother that was supposed to be the man of the house, with my parents being divorced, and you don't take that opportunity to protect your little sister, you know, those kind of things. And then watching how he utilized that to allow other things to happen to you. And it was just kind of like a setup for all the other entry spaces that end up happening, and molestation and rape and all those other unwanted things. But the other part was the cycle. Hmm. When we got to that, that was the hardest, one of the hardest parts of the book, because the cycle allowed me to understand, if this is why I keep going around in these emotional roller coasters and need emotional first aid so much, is because I haven't dealt with it head on. You know, I haven't dealt with the fact that this is how I allowed myself to mirror love and what love was. It was the pleasing part of pleasing other people, even if that meant the demise of yourself, even wow. if that meant those secret spaces, even if that meant that you would repress things and go along with things and allow yourself to be puppeteered in so many ways, in every aspect, from friends to boyfriends to family to jobs and everything. Like, all of that reminded me of those things. And just talking about it again now, just it just reminds you that you see yourself going into those cycles and wondering how people are pulled into your life, and those that you magnetically attract or those that you're attracted to. It took this book to remind me of why my life took that journey that it did. Like, I was always attracted to the unattractive, or always attracted to men that were wounded warriors, you know, that I felt like I could save somebody mm-hmm. when I needed to be saved myself.
Wow. Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, your book. And of course, Ed, we will talk about you too. And Jolanda, you will be our guide. Yeah. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The 411 Live. Real people, real talk.
The 411 Live, your link to information. And now here's your food for thought.
When he said I could have everything I've ever wanted, I didn't expect it to slip through my fingers in a split second. I started out as a girl living a life of happiness with someone I believed I could trust. Then he twisted what I saw into a world of darkness. He took away my innocence, broke me down until I was no longer a human being, sent me into the streets to find date after date, bed after bed, so I could earn the cold hard cash he couldn't wait to spend. People think I'm a lost cause, someone just looking for a good time. When in reality, I'm being trafficked and they don't know the signs. This is only one example of sex trafficking. Maybe other victims can escape if everyone learns the signs before it's too late. For more information, visit the411live.org.
Social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the 411 Live, Real People, Real Talk. We're talking to two authors, Nancy Yarbrough and Edward Hennings, and the person who helped guide them in this journey of writing their books, Jolanda Rogers. When we left, we were talking to Nancy about the journey of writing the book and the self-discoveries that she was making about herself, and one being being attracted or wanting to help the underdog, so to speak. What else did you see in your life?
Well, again, I kind of, you know, went back to the fact of little Nancy versus adult Nancy, and how little Nancy is applauding adult Nancy for not giving up. And adult Nancy is appreciating little Nancy for, you know, just opening up, you know, allowing herself to go back to the places where people normally have transformative lives, you know, where when you are in that younger state of mind and you don't know the things that are happening to you and they're accepted as normal. And when you find out that they're not, how she didn't give up. And she became this adult Nancy that became an activist and an advocate for those that don't understand life traumas.
Right.
But also thanking God for Jolanda and allowing me to express myself in such a way that it's not a book. It's not an easy read. You know, it's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to have that companion part of the journal so that you don't go away saying, oh, whoa, poor Nancy. But you go, oh, where do I fit in at? Where are these places in my life that I haven't yet discovered where mm-hmm. I still need healing? You know, so that is the thing that stood out the most to me is that in this journey, I got a chance to recognize that that little girl that I forgot about because mm-hmm. her innocence was taken so young, that she turned out to be a pretty cool chick.
I would agree. I would agree. Second the motion on that one. Edwin, your journey, I guess it wasn't so much of going to repressed memories, but expression, putting your life story on paper or putting it all in words. Is that pretty correct?
That's right on time. Like I said, I'm able to speak and talk to people a lot, but when it comes to putting it in book form, I'm probably the furthest thing from an award-winning author or anything like that. But with Jolanda, she was able to take me to places. Like sometimes you can go to a place one time and you can have some feelings so strong. You can never go back to that place. You can explain it. You can talk about it. You can even think about it, but just the feeling of in that moment, that one specific moment, mm-hmm. and Jolanda was able to take me back to specific moments and bring the same feelings back out of me that I had in that same moment. Like, hey, man, I'm right back there again. She was able to take me back there on several occasions.
Right. What's the technique, Jolanda?
One, I think, and again, I have to keep going back to the I Dare You to Heal movement because it's so dear to my heart. And it's really about being present with people in the moment. One of the things, and Ed mentioned he's far from an award-winning author. He actually is an award-winning author, Nancy. But one of the things I think that makes so powerful about who they are and about their presence and the necessity of them having the book is that it allows the people that they speak to on their various platforms to have a tangible piece of who they are with them. So they have an opportunity to experience them in relationship and speaking and business ventures and all these different capacities. And then when they walk away, they have something in their hand where they can kind of thumb through. My favorite moment, I think, in talking with Ed is when he talked about his uncle's blue Cadillac. And the reason why that was so impactful is because he didn't just say, you know, yeah, my uncle had a Cadillac. He's like, no, my uncle has this blue Cadillac. And I could remember, you know, and just when you are there and when you're present with the person in the moment, it creates a safety with them that allows them to settle into what they felt at that time. And Ed, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit to that or about that just particular relationship with your uncle and just, but every time we would go into certain areas, I could tell because his posture would change. And when we would make the correlation to another thing, and spoilers, small spoilers, but get his book, the impact that his grandfather had in his life, and literally everything that he's doing now, the major moves that he's making, you can tell that they all came from those early moments, those early memories. And so going back to those and kind of talking about them.
You would, and before we go to Ed, you were saying that with the two of them, you were seeing correlations, mm-hmm. the pre-8, you said. And that just kind of hit you today.
It did. So I'm looking at Nancy. I'm looking at, and first of all, they're both amazing. I don't know too many people that don't know either of them in their respective arenas. But in talking with them and going through the life expedition before 8, those developmental years, the core of who they are, they had already received the message that you're not enough or that the core of who you are isn't accepted. So with Ed, he was incredibly bright. a brilliant Black boy on the north side of Milwaukee, zip code 53206, and being smart is not popular. And then you have Nancy, a sensitive heart, loving others, wanting to fit in, to be with friends, and then to be in an environment that says, well, your hair isn't long enough, or you don't look this way, or, you know, you don't have these types of clothes, so you don't fit in here. And just kind of seeing how those early wounds kind of impacted them later on into adolescence, into adulthood, and just shaped different things about their life.
That's so profound, because a lot of people, a lot of people are discovering it, but sometimes people mm-hmm. miss how what happened in your childhood, how it has a lasting effect on your adulthood.
And that is, mm-hmm.
you know?
Absolutely.
And the choices that you make, the friends that you have, the things that you say. I mean, it affects mm-hmm. us in so many ways. And sometimes we need, as adults, to go back to that child. And sometimes we need to heal that child, you know, tell that, yeah. encourage that child, or tell that child that they're okay and they were special, they are special. All those things that the child missed or didn't hear, or counteract all those negative things that the child faced way back then, that adult mm-hmm. self needs to go back and heal that young self. Yeah. And I think, Nancy, that's what you were saying. You know, going
yeah,
back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Ed realizing that all these things from way back when kind of was a precursor to what you would do as you grew up, and discovering that. Did you make that discovery while writing the book, or did you already know that?
I had some time to do some self-reflection and personal self-development. So during this time, it was a moment of arrival.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moment of putting some perspective on everything that had happened in my life, leading right. up into writing the book, before writing the book, after writing the book. It's just some moments of clarity, should I say, because every successful person, there's a story of overcoming adversity. But when we're young, we process the information as if we are the only ones that's going through adversity.
Right.
But through, like I say, growth and clarity, you finally realize, like, everybody has a story. Everybody has overcome something. But when we're young, we process it totally different. When mom say cut off the lights, when we're young and immature, cutting off the lights means we're poor and don't have money to keep the lights on and play the video game all night. But in a mature mind, we know that cutting off the lights means that, not that I don't have the money, but I don't want to keep spending it over and over on unnecessary bills.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
So it's just when we process information when we're young and we react according to our immature perspective. But once it grows and we get more clarity, if it grows, if we're lucky enough or diligent enough to get it to grow and have clarity, then we can see it for what it rightfully is.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Nancy. Excuse me for that. Your book, now you mentioned it delves into molestation, rape. Is it for all age groups?
Absolutely, it is. It's because it travels from the young person to mm-hmm. the middle-aged person, middle school person to the high school person to the young adult to the adult. I just think that a lot of times we don't allow our children, our middle school children, to visit adulthood early enough. And I think this book is definitely something that can give them an opportunity to know some of the pitfalls that can happen with those yes that you should have said no to,
mm-hmm.
and that your parents are not the worst people in the world, and they could be confidants for you to help you maneuver through situations. I think it's good for all age groups because it also has the journal companion. And it allows them to map out whatever they're going through themselves at the time. So we do have it in a place where there are girls that have been exploited, that have had some of the same life, similar stories, and we're utilizing it in those spaces. But we're also utilizing it in spaces where there are adult women that now have come into coming out of recidivism and mm-hmm. coming out of in addictions and other places, that the book fits their lives too, because addiction, pain, trauma, unresolved trauma is crosses the board, it crosses the gamut. It doesn't really have an age to it. When it enters into your life, that's when it entered, right?
Wow. Wow. I can see where that book could be healing for a lot of people. You know, just reading it, helping them, knowing somebody has been through what they're going through and has, the person has succeeded, is successful, doing well. Briefly, excuse me, because I have a tickle in my throat. But before we leave, since we've been talking about your past, Nancy, what are you doing now?
Winning. What I'm doing now is actually living out my eternity forever, which is the last chapter of the book. I'm living that out, right? I'm walking through doors and sitting at tables and making decisions and living out that Harriet Tubman model, right? They knew they were slaves, right? And going back and save those that have the slave mentality, not just the ones that were out there involved in exploitation or domestic violence, but those that don't realize that it's happening, right? That's that slave mentality. One thing that I really loved about that now of who I am, it came full circle to say, even in the midst of her saying she was going back to save 1,000 and 1,000 more, that if they knew they were slaves, but in that all the time, she was a slave, you know? So even in that all the time that I was in bondage, I was still trying to help other people and even unwrapping some of those unwanted gifts right now that keeps trying to come up in my life. I'm still that person that came through it. So now that I'm an author, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, I'm a wife, you know, I'm a caring and loving person that wants to do everything I possibly can do to help those in the next generation and generations to come, going forward and backwards, that there is that perpetual light of way out, but you can't rush the journey. Go through it. Don't stop. Go through it, because going through it indicates for somebody else that I can make it through as well.
That's good. You know what? I was conversing with Jolanda, and a phrase that she used to describe you in your process of writing the book, purity of heart. And I thought that was special. So, you know, and I congratulate you because you took the process seriously. You dug deep and you weren't afraid. Well, maybe there may have been a few times, but you still dug in there. And you came out on the other side, and man, look what you've produced. Are you, you must be proud of yourself.
You know what? Glory be to God first, before all things. Mm-hmm. But yes, I am definitely grateful.
Yeah.
You know, that's my new hashtag. She grateful, but I am definitely grateful. For the opportunity. You know, again, I'm really grateful that Jolanda's obedience caused me to manifest what God had in my heart to heal myself and others. That is where I'm really, you know, putting a line at right there. I am grateful for the obedience across the board.
Very good. You know, I focused a lot on this podcast because I have two profound authors. So I've spent a lot of time with Nancy right now, and we're going to do a part two on this subject, and we're going to delve deeper into Ed's story. But Ed, when you completed this thing, you looked at it, you read it, you said, you know, when you read it, you thought, whoa, is that me? You know, what kind of feedback are you getting from your book?
Wow. I'm going to say this. I'm born and raised here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I've lived in Memphis before. I've been to quite a few cities, Dallas, Atlanta. And, you know, the level of hometown support is a little different here for us Milwaukee natives. We haven't, like, caught on to what Atlanta does when it comes to looking out for one another at an alarming rate. We have a little of it here and there, but we haven't caught on to it as a whole city yet. So when I did my release, I was expecting like places like Dallas and Atlanta to show me a lot more love and attention and support for the book.
Uh-huh.
But I threw it at my salon and my barbershop, and Milwaukee showed up. They showed up. It had tears in my eyes to just see the amount of people that showed up and didn't just stick their head in the door and walk out.
Right.
They came in and we spent the day together.
That's nice.
It was beautiful.
That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just speak to that a little bit. That was probably one of the most amazing things that I saw in Milwaukee in 2019. There was standing room only. And then there were people that were outside because there was no social distancing, to say the least. but the energy in the room, the power in the room, the affirmation, the celebration in the room, you know, from his mom being there to people that knew him before his experience and those that had a chance to see him after. And then even there were some that were still in the lifestyle that he used to live that were there. And then there were some that have transformed their lives, and everybody was there in celebration and in unity. And there was young people there, young boys under 10 coming up, and Ed, you know, was shaking their hands and giving them t-shirts. It was powerful. So Ed does has now founded the Change Institute. And what I say about him is that he's living transformation. So anytime you just not talking about a transformative experience, you encounter him, you work with him, you see him, he's living that. And then I have to just say this about Nancy, when I talked about just her purity of heart, this is I Dare You to Heal, right? And in order for us to go into the trenches and really capture those and help them to find their voices that have been stolen, it takes a heart like hers, someone that is absolutely willing to embrace the pain of vulnerability to lead someone else to their healing. So we have a lot of people doing the work, and I love the work. I love us all as ambassadors, but it's something different when you've been in the work that's being done, you know? And so that's just like, I love Nancy. I love Ed. That, like, they're family. They are absolutely family. And I think just looking from where they've been to where they are now, you see Ed living transformation. You see Nancy, just her purity of heart. It's amazing.
Thank you, guys. This has been a wonderful conversation. So good that we are going to do part two. And we'll delve a little deeper, as I said, into Ed's story. Ed spent 20 years in prison, and we're going to talk about that and what he learned from that and what some of the reasons that he has discovered for all of that. So it will be an interesting conversation as well. Hey, this is the 411 Live, real people, real talk. I'm Beverly Taylor. We have tons of podcasts that we've already done, so you should be sure and check that out, because now that you're staying at home because of the coronavirus, you have a little extra time. So go to YouTube, subscribe. We really appreciate that. Facebook, 411live.org is our website. Any of the platforms that you use to look at podcasts, you'll find us there. We love you. We thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time for part two.